Over, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 7, just for a moment. And perhaps we can have someone lead us, please, before the throne of God's grace. In our study on Wednesday, we're taking step by step. And if some of you were here Wednesday, remember. And in the light of that, oh, it's all the latecomers, all forward to the front. How's that? You all get an extra bag of candy for coming to the front. In our study on Wednesday, we reminded ourselves of Christmas, and here a reference point, chapter 7 and in verse 10. Remember, moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign, and God of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth, Sheol, all the way to the bottom, and to the height of heaven, the heavens, high as that. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt, put the Lord to a test. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of... God goes from speaking to Ahaz to speak to the whole house of Israel. O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? It's a one thing for you to weary, exhaust. Bear in mind, you keep saying it over and over. You do things, you repeat things, you just wear everybody out. But when you wear God out, that's something different. Verse 13, but will you weary my God also? So Isaiah says, you're wearying, exhausting God. God of it, you're trying God's patience. And you keep pushing and pushing. And God had made a wonderful, it's a command, verse 11, ask, A-S-K. That's a command. And God commanded Ahaz to ask. Now remember, we went all through that. We couldn't possibly do all that now. But remember, here's the universe, his creation. In the middle of God, if I could have the ball, creation, his creation, I put it out in the middle, all of creation, and I put that out in the middle with the two galaxies and everything. I put that all out here. And so that's mine. And I'm the creator, God's the creator, and God created. So God is seeking to get the attention of Ahaz, because here's the 10 tribes in the north, and in chapter 7, verse 1, and the king of Assyria, the 10 kings in the north, I mean the 10 tribes in the north, they're all coming down to go against Ahaz in the south. So, and God says he's going to take care of that, and Ahaz is to be encouraged, and to have confirmation of God, what God is going to do. But Ahaz wouldn't receive that. And God gave him an awesome, awesome ability to ask anything from the depths of the earth to the heights of heavens. And he didn't. He didn't do that. And we share together the magnificence of the offer. Ask anything, anywhere, in all of creation. Joshua did what? He had the sun stand still. Now, what is Ahaz going to do? Nothing. That's an awesome request. Only the Creator can give that. And then we added to that all of the things. But remember Isaiah 55, God's thoughts and his ways are higher than the heavens. The heavens, plural. So here's way up here, way out here, is God's thinking. So when we come down here, and God asks the little thing of Ahaz, and Ahaz, just in his unbelief and indifference to God, didn't do it. And God went, and then he offered the sign of a virgin's birth, the baby born in Bethlehem. Now, we want to go and add to that. Awesome, if you can, I told you, by the end of the day, if you can't grab this, I got to tell you, change your life. Most people have, I'm telling you, they have such a zero understanding of God, it's terrible. It's next to terrible. It wearies God. Wearies. They have no sense of God. So now, we want to add to that his thoughts. So anything we try to ask or think, Ephesians 3:20, I'm going to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can what? Ask or think. So here we are. God says, all right, here's the dimensions, ask. And they didn't. They could have. Now, add to that in our little time left. Over to Genesis chapter 18. I want to add another word, if I can. And if I may, here in Genesis 18, remember Abraham is promised to have a seed, and in picking up just the context a little bit, chapter 18, verse 12. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself when it's impossible, I'm too old, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Both of them are old. Verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Now remember, Sarah is hiding, listening, the people do the conversation. You can just see her. Here's the Lord talking to Abraham, and in the process of talking to Abraham, you can just see her ear to the tent behind the curtain, wanting to pick up everything that's said. What are they talking about? Ever do that? What are the people talking about? And here's her ear listening. And she laughs. She said, that's a funny one. But you can't laugh anywhere. You can't do anything behind the tent, because God knows what's behind the tent. And God knows you're behind the tent. And God knows everything you think before you think it. So now, that's the context, verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So now, if you look at in verse 14, is there anything too hard? And you're looking at the verb, too hard. And now the verb tuhod is a word, a wonderful word actually. It's a wonderful word. It means to separate, to split out, to divide up, to get all the distinct parts of something, to get all that's intricate involved in something, to get the distinction of it all. Now, to get that wonderful distinction, that's the word, to divide up, to make something extraordinary, wonderful, to be distinguished, superhuman, beyond all expectations. And thus the verb is used, and the word noun. It means something wonderful. It means something extraordinary, beyond your capacity, beyond your ability, beyond your imagination. You do not have the capacity in your heart and mind. It's going to exceed and be beyond your imagination, your understanding, in every way. You're not going to be able to grab it. You're going to see it, understand it, but you couldn't grab it. It's beyond your imagination. Remember, above all that you could ask or think. Wow. Beyond your imagination. Aha. Now, is there anything too hard, beyond what God can do? Is there anything too wonderful, too extraordinary? His capacity, his ability, is God limited in any way? Question. That's the key. So hang on to that's the word. Is God limited? That's what to Sarah here, they both old. Is there anything too wonderful for God? Hang on. Now, over if you would in the light of that. Over if you in the light of Genesis, go over with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus in chapter 3. And in Exodus chapter 3, picking up if I can, God is going to do wonderful things. And when he, with Moses, against all the 10 plagues in Egypt, etc., all the wonders of that. And thus, in chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 19, "And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand." So God already tells Moses, I know it isn't going to work, but you're going to go anyway. Verse 20, "And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go." So God, what are you going to do? See the word wonders, the word hard, extraordinary, awesome, incredible, superhuman, wonders. I'm going to do things that you couldn't conceive of happening. I'm going to make it all happen. I do wondrous things. Over, if you would now, and picking up in thought, chapter 15, after the Red Sea, God, you're going to say it again. God, all the things you do are wondrous things. And here, after the 10 plagues, etc., and here's chapter 15, and picking up, if I may, in verse 10. Here's the song of Moses after the Red Sea. "Thou didst blow with the wind, and the sea covered them," that's the Egyptian army, "and they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Who is like you that can do this? Who can open? Remember that, we're looking at that. Here's approximately my guess, measurement. Here's 4.5 miles of the Red Sea, and God opens it just like that. And the walls go up of water, and there's not a drip. Just like what? And then the Israel goes through, and then Egypt, and then the Egyptian army, and boom. Wow. God, who can do that? No one can do that. That's what I'm trying to tell you. No one can do it. God can do it. We got to have an awesome expectation, anticipation. Now, in the light of that, chapter 34. And in the tent, God is going to write on the tablets of stone. Remember, the first tablets were broken, so God is going to write. So who wrote on those stones? God did. Verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee out two tablets of stone, like unto the first, and I will write upon their tables, tablets, the words that were in the first tablets, which thou breakest. I'm going to do that. Now, verse 10. And he said, behold, I will make a covenant before all thy people, and I will do marvels, there's your word, such as has not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, and for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. I'm going to do awesome things. And God surely did that. And we shared 1,000 different ways to remember. Here's 2.5 million people or so. And here's all the livestock and everything. And all of that in the middle of the desert. There's no water, no food, no trees, no bushes. No, what are you going to do? No shade. And God's going to provide everything. Impossible, but not for 40 years. Not impossible. Not at all. Not at all. So now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, over to Psalm 78. So Israel's history, just the history of Israel, is a wonder. In Psalm 78, using God's own explanation of things, and in Psalm 78, picking up, please, to get the flavor of it, 78 verse 4. Remember, God is, the psalmist is rehearsing history. The maskil, Psalm 78 at the very top, the maskil of Asaph. And maskil means understanding. When you see that on a psalm, it means these psalms are particular for particular understanding. And in the tribulation, as you know, for some, they're going to be, these are going to be very relevant to you in the future for you. So understand them. So now, Psalm 78, verse 4. I will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works which he hath done. His awesome, incredible things. Incredible, unbelievable, superhuman, beyond expectation, beyond your imagination. You couldn't even conceive of them. But God did them. And then that's so that you're going to rehearse history so you have a sense of God. What are we doing? We're reviewing history to have a sense of God. God, here we are in your presence, but what? Wow. We need a refresher course. Aha. Uh-huh. Now, so verse 11. And what did Israel do? And forgot his works and his wonders, there's your word, the extraordinary things that he did, awesome things, that he had showed them. And in verse 12, marvelous, next same word, marvelous things, wondrous things, incredible things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, which is Egypt. All of that, God, you did that. You did all of those things. And the people had them, they forgot them. They should have rehearsed them because the people that were Israelites that are over there now, there are people that came from this history that we're looking at, and they ought to be reminded of a great God and not a terrible predicament they're in, a God who's greater than their predicament. Psalm 78, picking up if I can, in verse 32. For all this, remember rehearsing Israel's history, verse 32, for all this they sinned still and believed not, for his wondrous works. There's your word. His incredible things he did. Now, anyone that can do that incredible, back to Ahaz, ask me. He said, I don't want to bother you. That's an insult to God. If you got a little God like this, then you don't have a problem. But if you're going to have God, you got a problem. As long as you can shrink him down. Well, hang on to that one. Now, so in the light of that, Psalm 106. Just a sidelight, as it just occurs in my little brain, I'm thinking of Revelation, you know, the Lamb of God, and it speaks of him as the Lamb. The Lamb. Who's the one standing there opening the book? Who's the one doing it? The little Lamb. And when the word Lamb there means little Lamb, it doesn't mean a big, big Lamb. It means a little baby Lamb, a little, little kid, a little baby Lamb. The little Lamb. The whole universe worships him. The little Lamb. God, you're going to make your point. Hang on. Well, if the Lord tarries, we'll get it a little. Psalm 106. Picking up, if I can, a little word, not Egypt and history. Verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders, there's your word, in Egypt. Did you understand all those marvelous plagues and everything? No. They remembered not the multitude of his mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea. They just pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. That's what they should have just enjoyed the awesomeness of it all. And in verse 22. Wondrous works in the land of Ham. Ham is another way to say Egypt. And terrible things at the Red Sea. So as you read God's commentary on his own interpretation of his own, of all history, he gives it to you. He said, it was wondrous things I did. Incredible things I did. Wow. And who was to appreciate them? Now, over to, if you would, in your Bible, over to in our study, remember, we did this in Joshua. Joshua, your guys are going to cross the Jordan River in a most miraculous way, just like you did the Red Sea. You're going to cross the Jordan River, and then I'm going to do wonders. That's a wonder. I'm going to do it. And he says that. So as they're standing there looking at the Jordan River, remembering the Red Sea, God said, I'm going to do wonders. And that's why the Jordan River is just going to stop. Whoop, 25 miles up, whoop, stops, no water. So all of Israel can cross on dry land. Wow. God, you can do it. God, you told them. That's right. Now, past that, here's Judges. And Judges, if you would, chapter 13, I think. Judges and chapter 13, picking up if I may. Now remember, the Manoah and his wife, they had no child, etc., and they're going to have a child. And in the process, chapter 13 and in verse 16, and the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, I thought, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread, and if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. Now that's the pre-incarnate Christ, as you'll see. And verse 17, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? And that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor and give thee the credit. Verse 18, And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? And there's your little word, hard, wonder, wonderful, extraordinary, beyond. My name is awesome, superhuman name. I am that I am. Now put that together, and then all of this is there. All of this is coming as we've been doing. All of that comes to, that's who you are. You are the creator of all this. Yes, right. I am. Ah. And thy name is secret. And if I can, picking up if I can, in verse 19. And Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, incredible. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And look, and here's the angel standing there, the pre-incarnate Christ, and the flame goes, and the fire goes, and the fire goes, and up he goes. Wow. Up he goes. And Manoah, and that's awesome. That's right. Wonderful. Incredible. I couldn't conceive of it. And Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces to the ground. Now, verse 21. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Now, tie it together. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen God, Elohim. We have seen him. We have seen God. And God disappeared wondrously. And that's where Samson. That's Samson. You want to know how come Samson came? And Samson, your whole starting point is awesome. So when you go kill 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, what is that? That's nothing. When you pull down the temple of Dagon, that's nothing, God. Wow. The God that made you. Wow. That's right. And Samson trusted God in a most wonderful way. And God did that in a most wonderful way for him. Now, having said that little bit and thinking that, Psalm 139, and here's David. As you know, you know this part anyway. So we want to be in the light of Wednesday and in the light of what we're doing today. You want to have a glimpse, a little glimpse. God, when you find a heart that would seek thee and allow you to be God, you would do wondrous things. By that I mean, nothing has to be done out here. Get that. It's done in here. In you. And you have an awesome sense of God in whose presence you sit. He doesn't have to do anything out here. He can do anything out here. But it's in here that you've discovered God, in his bigness. That's what it's about. Now, so here we are, Psalm 139, if I can get there. And here's David. And remember now, in Psalm 139, and in verse 2. And if I can. Thou knowest my sitting down and my rising up, my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts that I think afar off. God's thoughts being more than our thoughts, but under having said that, and keeping that in mind, David, and in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. There's your word. It's awesome for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. No, you can't. No, you can't. Just think of all the things we did Wednesday and all of that. The peace of God that passes what? Wow. All what? Understanding. above and beyond all you can ask or think. And we live in the presence of an awesome God. And that's what we want to learn. It has to happen in here. It doesn't have to happen out here. No. No. That's where you enjoy God. All the miracles, you can look at them like this. Look at, have Christmas. Merry Christmas. Everything out here. And there's nothing in here. It isn't out here. It isn't about out here. It's about in here. In your heart. Wow. So now, having said that a little bit, and in Psalm 119, picking up, if I may, in verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, there's your word, awesomely made, and anyone that does anything with the human body, it's rather awesome. Everything about your body is awesome. The bones, all the different systems, all the scenario of everything that can work and does, the immune system, everything. It's an awesome system. Awesome. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. So God, here we are. Marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Extraordinary, extraordinary, extraordinary. They are extraordinary. There's no question about it. Are thy works. God, that what you do is awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, over, if you would, in Jeremiah. Jeremiah and chapter 21. We'll pick up a thought. Jeremiah chapter 21. And if I may, picking up Jeremiah chapter 21 and verse 2. Inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord. Now, this is Zedekiah, the last king, before Nebuchadnezzar levels the city. Inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us, for Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, maketh war against us. If so be that the... am I looking at chapter 21 with you? If so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us. In other words, Zedekiah, at the end of your life, you should have been doing it. You're in the last 3 seconds of your life, and now you're going to talk about it. You should have been talking about it 20 minutes ago. But no, no, you wait till the last second, and it's too late. God, could you do something? Absolutely, but not when your coffin, the nails are hitting the board on top of the coffin, it's sealed. We aren't going to save anything. It's too late. Bury him. Bury him. Too late. Too late. Chapter 32. Wonderful chapter. You know this, all these wonderful things. Jeremiah is offered to buy a piece of property that Nebuchadnezzar is going to take. But he's to buy the piece of property, etc., and believe that someday he's coming back. Now, and in that context, you have his prayer. In verse 17. Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven, and the earth, by thy great power, and stretched out arm. And is there any, there is nothing too hard, back over to Genesis 18 again, remember, with Sarah, there's nothing too hard, too wonderful, too extraordinary. There's nothing beyond anything, beyond all that we can ask or think. There is nothing too hard for thee. So God, now Ahaz, you could have said that. You could have, but you didn't. You didn't do that. No. But Jeremiah, you got it. You got it. I did. Jeremiah said. And then he has the prayer. And then that's his prayer. And then he says his prayer. But God, there's nothing too hard for you. So God, whatever you ask, that's fine. Verse 27, the end. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all Israel, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Well, no, there's nothing too hard, wonderful. That's what God, Ahaz, you didn't listen. God said, listen, there's nothing too hard. Ask anything from the highest heaven. to the bottom of the Sheol, the bottom of the of the everything, to the depth. Wow. There's not, God said, listen, there's nothing too hard for me. There's, God, that's pretty good. You said that. So therefore, God, we're going to go along with it. We aren't going to argue with you. How are we going to argue with you? There's nothing too hard for you. That's correct. That's correct. Job. Job, if you would. And in Job, and chapter 5. Now here's the flow. Here's Job is going to speak. Here's his four friends. Here they are. And I want you to catch the flavor. All of you guys, I'm looking at them. All of you guys have an understanding of God. There's nothing too hard about God. So when I look at them, 1, 2, 3, you're all miserable counselors, but you all know something about God that ought to be understood. You all agree, and Job is one of, included in the mix. Now, so the, here's Eliphaz, chapter 5, picking up in verse 9. Which, I'll read verse 8. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things, unsearchable, marvelous, there's your word, marvelous, extraordinary, nothing too hard, wonderful, beyond all you can ask or think, beyond your, any experience you could even consider trying to have, beyond your imagination. Imagine marvelous things without number, without any number. So, God, wow. Now, chapter 9, if I can, and picking up in, again, verse, here's Job. And I'll get a little context, you know. Job, you guys had a wonderful sense of God. That's true, they did. Verse 7, God, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars. In other words, God, you do what you do. And as you do it, whenever, that was no problem to stop the sun with Jonah. Verse 8, which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, and which maketh Arcturus, Orion, the Pleiades, those are the stars, and the chambers of the south, that's the whole southern hemisphere, the northern hemisphere, the southern hemisphere, all the stars that you threw into space, Which, verse 10, which doeth great things, past finding out, yea, and wonders, there's your word again, and wonders, oh, you guys got it, without number. There's no limit to your wonderful ability to do anything beyond anything. Wow. Is that your concept of God? Is that your understanding of God? Is that your enjoyment of God? Wow. Now, and here they are. They're all, Job 37. And all we're doing is seeking to be provoked, to be reminded, refreshed about the whole thing. Wow. Job 37, and in verse 5. God thundereth marvelously, there's your word, with his voice, great things doeth he, which cannot be comprehended, numbered, you can't understand them, no. God, you do them, you do them, you do them, you do them. I do, verse 13. He causes the earth, the sun, the rain, the weather, he causes it to come, whether for correction sometime, for his for his land, for the whatever benefit, for his mercy. God does. You do all kinds of things, God. Verse 14, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous, there's your word, the wondrous works of God. Job, stand still and get the message. Now, all you guys got it. Wow. So no one's stupid about this. Nope, we're all very conscious. The trouble is, God, you're all saying the right thing, and you're all correct. But you have to let it get to you. And God has done a wonderful thing to Job and taken away blessings in abundance from a human standpoint. And God has taken them all away, except for his wife that said, curse God and die. Apart from her, God left her. And here we are. And God, you did all of that in one day, 24 hours. And then you had another day where you physically knocked him out, everything around him. And then the next time, physical knock him out, play from head to toe, plague. Now, and God, now what? Now, having said that, thinking that, so God, here you are in your wonderful, wonderful working. Job, you are being worked on. Those three guys are looking at you being worked on. They are not being worked on. You are being worked on. So they can only look at you and talk about it and say wonderful things, but they can't participate. No, not like they, not like Job is. And hang on, Job is participating. Over to Job 42. Job in chapter 42. Now, Job, you're going to tell me what you, because you're being worked on. Yeah, well, I don't want God to work on me. I just want God to bless me. Well, that isn't what it's about. It isn't about God giving you like a genie stuff. It's letting God do a wonderful thing in your life to change it. And so here's Job, it worked. Job 42, picking up if I can. In verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be holden from thee. So A, you know, God, you're able to do whatever, and B, that your thinking and my thinking are too different. Your God, your thoughts are higher than the heavens. He hasn't even, there's no Bible yet, remember. And there's no Isaiah to say, Isaiah 55. These people are just standing, enjoying God's wonderful presence back then. That's an awesome thing. And it will happen again. When? In the millennium. Only this time, they're going to have the visible Christ. And everyone will know. Now, Job, verse 3. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I uttered, said Job, that I understood not things too wonderful, there's your word, incredible, indescribable, superhuman for me, which I knew not. Now, what was so superhuman about it all? God, I didn't understand. You didn't move a mountain? No. Job, what did you understand about God? I understood that God could take away everything, even my health, even my life. And he's wonderfully God still. That's awesome. Wow. Uh-huh. That's it. Did he do some super thing for you? No, he took it all away. And that's what I discovered. I discovered God, I thought I, boy, did I miss, I didn't understand about you, God. God, you are something else. You are absolutely something else, God. That's all I can say. You are too wonderful for me. And thus, so you are encouraged. Verse 6, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I'm humbled to the ground. Wow. And that's when God, what? He doubles everything. God said, good, lesson learned, reward. If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. You must believe that I what? I am. And I am a rewarder. I pay in full everyone that seeks me. I make full payment. I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. I make full payment. Now, how can you beat that? How many believers do you know that even think like that? See? So you can understand our world's where it is. And that's what I need, though. We need that, God. You've got to help us. So now, Psalm, oh boy, we got one shot to go. Psalm 86. I hope you got a little bit on this part of it. This part, you understand, God does wondrous things. That's what he does. He did it. It's all history. History is wonderful. Psalm 86. Psalm 86, picking up in verse 9, all nations whom thou hast made, 86:9, shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest, there's your little word, wondrous things. Thou art God alone. There's no one else, God, like you. No one equals you. No one anywhere, anyhow, in any way is like you. You are something else, God. Wow. God. And we're in your presence. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. In the morning, if we live another few minutes, we'll add another piece, most momentous. And then we'll add a third piece that's most practical. Wow. Profitable. Wow. Anyway, hope you got a little. Thank you.